Chapter number 13, if you will. And, somebody told me last night I need to preach on hell today. Hey, hot as it was, said people would believe it. Amen. Some of y'all got that. Some of you yet to get it. Some of you ain't woke up. I'm telling you, it's rough this morning. Hey. Luke chapter number 13. Amen. All right. How many of you there? Amen. Two of y'all, three of y'all, all right? Luke chapter number 13. We'll only read a few verses this morning, and we'll start in verse number 10. Luke chapter number 13. We'll start in verse number 10. The Bible says, and he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And so here we are. We've set the scene. We understand where he's at, where he's located. If you study the book of Luke, this is the last mention of Jesus being in a synagogue on the Sabbath day. This is the last miracle that we'll see on the Sabbath day in the book of Luke, as far as Luke is concerned. Here in Luke chapter number 13, we get the setting. Jesus is in a synagogue, and he is there on the Sabbath, and he was teaching. Now, for those of you that have been with me to Israel, the synagogues, and I've shared this in the church as well, but the synagogues was not a place to where they sang and they went, did all the things that we did for church. It was a place where the Word of God was. Not everybody was privileged, not most anybody was privileged to have a copy of God's Word in their hand back in these days. And so for them to hear God's Word, they would have to go to the synagogue. For them to get a word from God, for them to get a message from God, for them to get help from God, it would be from the synagogue. It would be where they could go and they could hear the Scripture. And they valued that. Can I get a witness? We don't value that anymore, not nearly as much as we should. We enjoy coming to church, but that's only if the church entertains us, have programs for our kids, and have all these other things that are available to us. But the truth of the matter is, most of these people that attended this, they didn't care about a program. They wasn't looking for a choir, and they wasn't looking for a new song, a new special. All they wanted to do was hear the Word of God, the very thing that you and I oftentimes take for granted. The very thing that you and I have multiple. Come on, I'm using a new one. I got a. I have my old Bible. I study out of one Bible, and I use it for the most part. But this is a new Bible. This is one of my new ones. And anyhow, I have several Bibles. Whether I'm at the house, I got Bibles in my truck. And you and I have the Word of God everywhere. Can I get a witness? If you got a phone in your pocket, you got the Word of God on your phone. And there's nothing wrong with that. Don't ever feel ashamed for opening up your phone and reading your Bible, even if you're in church, all right? It's okay. But we have the Word of God at our fingertips. And here they didn't. And so these people were meeting. The only place that they can get a word from God was in the synagogue. The Bible says that he was teaching here in verse number 11. It says, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity. And the Bible says 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. If you look at this and you understand it, many of us, you've heard preaching on this and teaching on this, but this woman was literally bent over at the waist and could not straighten herself up. She lived life staring at the floor. She lived life not being able to look up and see a cloud, not being able to look up and see the sun. She lived life for 18 years at least in a condition that had her bent over. To what extent, to how far, we don't know. But let's put it this way. Of all the people in the Bible, very few We are told that there was a lame man. We are told that there was somebody that couldn't talk. We were told that there was somebody that couldn't hear. But this is one account in the Bible where a detailed description is given. Not just that this woman had an infirmity, but it tells us what it did to her. Is everybody getting what I'm saying? It could have been, in a lot of the other stories, if he would have just left it at, she had a spirit of infirmity and left us to guess what was going on, or left some kind of an open door, if you will, to something that might have happened. That'd be one thing, but this is very descriptive in what was going on in her life. Right. The Bible tells us that she was bent over and she could not straighten herself up. I don't know. I need somebody to help me right now. But sometimes I feel like that after sitting down 5 minutes. Can I get a witness? I don't know what it is, man. I got up yesterday. We sat down at the picnic table and I was eating, and I got up from the picnic table and I'm talking about I walked all the way through the house like this, straightening up. This woman, 18 years, was bent over. 18 years looking at feet, looking at the floor. Looking at dirt. Everybody with me? Amen. The Bible tells us that Jesus saw her. That's where we're going to be at this morning, verse number 12, really. The Bible says, and when Jesus saw her. Now we know this. We know that this woman couldn't have been inside. She would have had a hard time being inside where Jesus was. But he noticed her. The Bible says when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And the Bible says, and he laid his hands on her. That was something different. He didn't have to. He spoke it, and he didn't have to touch her. We know that he spoke the world into existence. But yet the Bible says that he laid his hands on her. And immediately, the Bible says she was made straight. And look at what she did. She glorified God. I don't know about you, but it just seems like that's a proper thing to do after being straightened out. I don't know about you, but for 18 years, that was something she couldn't do to the extent that you and I would know glorifying God or praising God. And yet when he gave her, when he loosed her, when he straightened her out, she gave him glory. The Bible says in verse number 14, the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. I don't know about you. I'm just going to be honest. I want to punch this guy in the face. Is everybody all right? Amen. Especially if I was the one that was needing help.
That's right. Come on.
Because for 18 years, this woman has showed up, Brother Johnny, at his synagogue. This was the ruler of the synagogue, and not in 18 years. There wasn't one time that this fool had ever helped her out. And yet here he is telling everybody in the synagogue, look here, they 6 days to work. If you want to be healed, you come on one of them days. Like he had the power to do something. Man, come on, I need somebody to help me. Who else wants to punch him in the face now, right? Man, it's always somebody that ain't got the power to help you that wants to determine how you get help. It's always somebody in your life that thinks they know how to do something when they really can't do it, but you got to do it their way. I need somebody to help me. Or it ain't. Jesse just said, ooh, preacher, he might get saved right here, all right? I mean, we have all been there. This guy couldn't do nothing for her. And yet he wants to stand up mad. The Bible says he had indignation. I would have given him something to be mad about. And said, hey, they 6 days that you can be healed. You come on one of them days as if he was just going to pull a rabbit out of the hat and heal her come Monday. or healer on Tuesday. I need somebody to help me. Here she is, 18 years, and not one person had even acknowledged her. Not one person, Brother Johnny, probably even spoke to her. Not one person tried to help this woman whatsoever. Matter of fact, if they were like most Baptist churches, she wasn't even welcome. Truth is, she ain't the type of people you want hanging out by the door of the church. Because it reminds us all that we all crooked a little bit. I need somebody. Y'all ain't getting it, but y'all gonna get it. Is everybody all right? It reminds us that people ain't always got it together. We want to put the best foot forward, right? I mean, come on, let's be honest about it. I mean, the commercials don't choose ugly people. Well, some of them do, all right? Some of them do, but let me shut up. God, please help me right now. Get me back on track. Get me off of that. But, hey, there are some ugly people in commercials. Amen. But for the most part, you want good-looking people. I need somebody to help me. You don't ever see somebody, listen here, you don't ever see somebody in a hamburger commercial that's fat. Amen. Why is that? It's the fat people that are eating the hamburger. I need somebody that's fat to help me. They got somebody up there. They got the perfect body. They look like they ripped from head to toe and trying to convince us that they're eating a double cheeseburger. No, they ain't. They ate salad. That's it. That's all they ate. They ate salad. Is everybody, y'all okay? We don't like to put ugly out there. We don't want ugly to be the face of what we're trying to promote. And so this woman was probably not even wanted in the synagogue because she was a reminder that people are broken. Here he is, upset. The Bible says the Lord then answered him and said, "Thou hypocrite," I need somebody to help me. Jesus didn't hit him, but he did. Right? I mean, that was, hey, listen, he didn't punch him in the face, but it was a gut punch. I mean, this, we ain't talking about anybody right here. We're not, I got to move on. I got to be quick with this, but we're not talking about anybody here, Jesse. This wasn't just somebody that showed up that got upset because something was going on. This was the ruler of the synagogue. This is the guy that, hey, he heads this thing up, and Jesus just straight up, "Thou hypocrite." And apparently the people liked it. He says, "Thou hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering?" He said, you'll take loose the oxen and your donkeys or whatever and you'll lead them to water on the Sabbath day. You'll care for them. You love them, you'll care for them. You may not love them in the extent that you would a wife or a child, but you take care of them. Can I get a witness? Because they take care of you. Verse number 16, keep on going if you will. "And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" This is what Jesus was saying. You'll do more for an animal than you will for a human being. Sounds familiar. Is everybody all right? It sounds familiar. We'll protect all kind of animals. We'll love on all kind of animals. I get tired of seeing them. I know some of y'all are dog lovers, and I am too. I got six of them, and I like them. Is everybody all right? They work, they do things. I need somebody to help me. Amen. Some of y'all take it to a new level. Y'all bottle feeding your dog up there, got a diaper on your dog. I need somebody to help me. You done made a sweater for your dog and everything else, treating it like it's somebody in the house. Talk to your dog. Don't lie. And then look at it like, are you going to answer me or not? And you call church people crazy. You crazy. We live in a day and time where we'll kill a youngin' and save an eagle. Kill a youngin' and save a turtle. I don't get it. Is everybody all right? But it's what Jesus is saying. You're hypocritical. You will save and you will love those things that will love you back. Those things that you get gain from. He said, but you don't even care about a woman. A woman who, I need somebody to help me. I know all you women are all self-sufficient and y'all don't need a man and all this other stuff. That's what society has taught you. But that ain't biblical. She should have been loved and cared for. And Jesus lets us know that she's a daughter of Abraham, so she was saved as well. And yet he cared nothing for her. Let me move on. He says, ought not this woman be loose? And here's verse 17, we're done. And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed. Man, don't you wish you could just speak and people be, I need somebody to help me. Amen. Man, when I try to do this, people get mad at me. That's right. I had some guy at the golf course yesterday jumped in front of us. And anyhow, the golf course owner, he thinks it's funny. Is everybody all right? I don't take too kindly to it. So I pulled right up to the tee box, and in the only way that I have, which is the preacher's voice, I said, hey, man, you need to go on back over there to number one. He looked at me and he said, he's a big old boy too, man. I thought, man, we had to fight. I got Dalton with me. And but the truth of the matter is that I think I could have handled him even with a hernia. Is everybody all right? He's a big old dude though. And he snapped back at me and he said, they told me I could tee off right here. I said, I guarantee you they didn't tell you you could tee off right here. As a matter of fact, me and you walk in that door right now, and if they did tell you that, I'll straighten them out right now. He said, that's all right, I'll go around to number one. And is everybody all right? I walked inside, and they were all standing there in the window like this. I walked in, and they said, preacher, did you get him? I said, yeah, because you won't do your job. Man, this place is packed, and you're just going to let somebody jump out there in front of me. Is everybody all right? Owner of the golf course came over and patted me on the back. He said, you did good. Somebody else was in there. They were like, way to get him, preacher, and everything else. Another guy, he said, I'll go play. He can play with us. I said, don't tell him the preacher was the one that did that. Is everybody all right? I said, don't tell him that the preacher was the one that did that. Why? Because we don't take those kind of things too well. He probably went over there. He had his girlfriend with him or his wife or whatever she was. He was probably so mad he couldn't even see straight. I know he was mad when he left. And I could have handled it better. But you wasn't in that position, so don't judge me. It's 100 degrees outside, and this joker jumping in front of me. He's lucky he didn't get shot. Can I get a witness? I was calm. Dalton trying to fix things. Dalton's a fixer. Is everybody all right? He's like, hey, man, you can play behind us. That ain't no big deal. There ain't nobody behind. I'm like, no, you can't. Go over to number one. The Bible says that they were all ashamed. Right. Look what happened, and all the people rejoiced. I got to move quickly. We're done. I want you to see verse number 12. Go back to verse number 12, if you will, Miss Tracy, because I want you to see something just real quickly. As we look at this, we understand this woman's condition. We see a description that is given. We're told about her spiritual condition. This woman, the Bible says that she had a spirit of infirmity, but the Bible says that it was given to her by Satan. That's right. Now, don't confuse this. This is not satanic possession, demonic possession. It's not that. Jesus didn't cast out a devil here. That's right. But it was an infirmity that was caused by a demon or satanic, something satanic. Is everybody all right? There was something in her life happened 18 years ago that bound her. And I think, come on, I need somebody to help me. There's a lot of people that are walking around the church today. Physically, you walking upright, but spiritually, you bent low. There's something that's gone on in your life maybe 18 years ago, maybe 5 years ago, maybe 30 years ago, but there's something that's gone on in your life and you have never forgot it. Matter of fact, I don't know how many of you was paying attention, but I give a testimony about something that happened to me when I was 17 years old. And while I was giving that testimony, I was right back in that church, sitting right there on that front row while that preacher did that to me. I can remember it vividly. I can remember what was said. I can remember how it was said, because Satan won't, I need somebody to help me right here, he won't let things like that go. He will remind us over and over again, and there's so many of us that are living bound up. There's so many of us that do not have our life straight. It's crooked. It's messed up. Somebody's hurt our feelings. Somebody's done something to us, and Satan has got a hold of that. Maybe it was innocent at the time, but Satan has gotten a hold of that thing, and he reminds us of it over and over and over again. We come to church, and maybe one service we get victory, but before we know it, we're bent back over again, living the same life with our head down, as if God can't do nothing about it, as if life is just what we're having to go through. It's just what it is, and there's nothing we can do about it. This is where she was. And if we're not careful, we'll just look at the physical aspect of this and not even realize there's a spiritual aspect to it. We don't see people bent over this way anymore. We don't see people walking around the church all bent over and looking low like this woman. And if we're not careful, we'll say, well, you know what? That doesn't pertain to us. But Jesus let us know that there was a spiritual side to this. Amen. This infirmity was by Satan. This infirmity was caused on her 18 years ago. I need somebody to help me right now. Do you realize today that we ain't nothing but a church full of crooked people? Man, I'm telling you, and yours, you may have done a good job of hiding what's going on in your life. You may have done a good job of keeping it suppressed up until this point. But the truth is, the only person that you're hurting by keeping it suppressed is you. It's you. This woman, she came for 18 years. She attended church. And then one day, I need somebody to help me. Verse number 12 said, Jesus saw her. I need somebody to hear me right now. Jesus saw her all them 18 years before that. God knew exactly where she was at. He knew exactly what was going on in her life. Though the people around her disparaged her, they disregarded her, they did not care that she was around. Most of them probably didn't even talk. Most of them, let's be honest about it, deemed her hopeless. But God saw her. The whole time, listen, I need somebody to help me. God sees you. God knows what you're dealing with. Well, I ain't told anybody. It don't change nothing. We're not talking about a physical. Here, the physical aspect of this was everybody could see it, but the spiritual aspect of it, only God revealed it. Did y'all get that? This woman didn't walk around telling everybody, I've been like this for 18 years because Satan done something to me. I've been like this for 18 years because I got a spirit of infirmity. She didn't walk around telling everybody that. Jesus revealed that to us. And he did it for a purpose. And that purpose this morning is to let us know that though we may not be physically bent, though we may not be physically crooked this morning, you may have it all together sitting in that chair spiritually. We got some crooked space. We got some crooked places in our lives. But I want you to know he's seen her. I want you to know this morning. God sees you. I want you to know this. I want you to see this in verse number 12. He called her. The Bible says he summoned her. He summoned her. Not only did Jesus see her, but he summoned her. I want you to notice this. Her location for 18 years, Brother Johnny, she had come to that synagogue. Every time she could, for 18 years. How many times? I need somebody to help me right here. How easy would it have been for her to give up? Amen. Man, we got people to get upset and leave the church because the preacher said something from the pulpit one time. Somebody didn't acknowledge you. I get this stuff all the time. Preacher, you walked by me and didn't shake my hand. As if I ain't got nothing else to do but shake your hand. I need somebody to help me. I mean, I get it. You come here and sit down on a chair and you enjoy things, but I got stuff to do, or you get mad at me.
That's right. Come on.
We running around. Y'all, is everybody all right? I'm going to come to church next week like y'all do. I just show up, come in, sit down. Music too loud. Jake, I don't know why you got to have music so loud. Dalton. Why you got to have it? Is everybody all right? It's so cold in here. Why is it so cold in here? Because it's 900 degrees outside. And we have to get cold in here because when 300 of y'all show up, it gets hot in here. You know why? Because you're full of hot air. I'm going to have some fun. Is everybody all right? I'm feeling it this morning. I'm hurting, but I'm feeling it this morning. Man, I'm just show up like everybody else, Jesse. Bless me if you can. Look here, preacher, I'm just here. I just need to check this box off so I can go on and go about my living. That way when somebody asks me, did you go to church? I say, yeah, I go to church, but I really didn't go to church. I ain't got over that. This woman, Jesus saw her, but he summoned her. And the only reason, listen to me, the only reason this woman got help, Brother Johnny, because she was in the right place. Oh. Oh, I know. Well, Jesus could have helped her out in the lake. Jesus could have helped her out in the tree stand. Is everybody all right? I'm having fun. Jesus could have helped. You're right. He could have. But this is not where that story took place. And 18 years, Brother Junior, there was many times that Jesus probably could have helped her out in the wilderness walking somewhere. He probably could have helped her in town as she was walking somewhere. But in 18 years, Jesus chose the synagogue on the Sabbath day to help this woman out.
That's right. Come on.
He summoned her. The Bible says he called her to him. He not only saw her in verse number 12, but he called her, he summoned her to him. Because she was in the right place. And there's so many people that are getting bent, getting upset, getting all jacked up.
That's right.
About church. Something happens we don't like. All of a sudden we miss 3 weeks. Then God gets on us. We come back to church as if one day. I need somebody to help me. We come back to church as if 1 hour of service is going to fix everything that we've done in the last 3 weeks of missing church. I don't need Wednesday night. Oh, I need Sunday. I'm that spiritual. I need somebody to help me. I'm so spiritual, I only have to come on a Sunday morning. I'm so spiritual, I don't have to get involved in it. I need... We, and this woman, 18 years, had every excuse in the world why she didn't need to come. But for 18 years, she was in her place every time. Listen here. Not only do we see her location, but we see her liberty. I'm going to be real brief right here. She could have said, look here, don't mess with me. Don't get my hopes up.
That's right.
Don't call me old.
Amen.
Stay with me, y'all. Yeah. For 18 years, this woman had been a spectacle.
That's right.
And now this man is calling her to him. Let's be honest. The first thing running through her mind wasn't, ooh, I'm going to get some help today.
That's right. Come on.
Problem, here I am, an illustration again. Here I am, fixing to be put on display for everybody to see as if my condition wasn't bad enough.
That's right. Come on.
She had the liberty to say, you know what? I'm not going through this again. Listen, I'm not getting on to you because I was there. I remember when that guy got up, when he got up and did that, I did not want to be back in church again ever.
Right.
Not going to do that to me again. I'm not going to allow it to happen. I can feel her pain. I wonder if the first thought through her mind was, don't make me a spectacle again. Don't bring me up here and put me on display for everybody.
That's right. Come on.
And then let me walk out in the same hurt, the same pain that I've been in for 18 years. But he called her to him. And he loosed her. The Bible says he said, woman, he spoke to her. That ain't the point, but it could be a point because it's in the thing. But he saw her, he summoned her, and yes, he did speak to her. He spoke and said, woman, thou art loosed. I need somebody to help me. I'm done. I won't preach the last point. But I need somebody to help me this morning. You come through here, and this morning, if you got real honest, and I ain't asking you to be, but if you got real honest with yourself, you'd have to say, preacher, there's some things in me that's messed up.
Amen.
Preacher, there's some things in me that you don't know about. There's something that happened when I was a child that, preacher, you don't know about. Preacher, there's something that happened to me in my first marriage that you don't know about. Preacher, there's something that's happened to me with my children that you just don't know about. Hurt me. My children hurt me. My wife hurt me. My husband hurt me. How about this one? My mama hurt me. My dad hurt me. Somebody at the church hurt me. Though I'm standing up tall and though I'm standing up straight, preacher, if you can see inside, I'm bent over. I come to church hopeless. I come to church just hoping that something's going to be said, something's going to be done. What you don't realize is you done stepped into the right church.
That's right, come on.
Because what I do know is this, God shows up here on a regular basis.
Amen.
And what I do know from God's word is that God sees us.
That's right.
He knows what's going on with you.
Yep.
And I believe this morning he's summoning,
Amen,
calling some of you. But you got to let it go. I'm going to go over here. I got to hide, Jesse. I can see the look on people's face. Don't you tell me to let it go. You don't know what I've been through. Problem is, you holding on to that, you missing out on something.
That's right, come on.
God's powerful enough to take it away from you, and for ever how long you've been dealing with it,
right,
you ain't been able to get rid of it.
That's right.
Can we just be honest and say you ain't got the ability? Can I just say whatever you're doing ain't working? I'm having fun. Let me go say that on this side. Can I say that whatever you've been doing for the last 18, 20, 30 years ain't working?
Amen.
Or you wouldn't be sitting here.
That's right.
Today, doubled up, spiritually hurt,
Amen,
in pain over something that's happened. But God sees you.
That's right.
And this morning, he's calling you to come and be loosed. You know what that means? Turn loose from, released. I'm going to say it like this. Y'all don't got to like it. Let freedom ring.
Amen.
We'll say it like this. Let freedom reign.
That's right. Come on.
God help us. You hear. You hear. And he's called us out this morning. You going to leave the same way? Don't walk out that door. Well, I didn't get no help this morning. When you chose not to let it go. Heads bow with me. Find a place around the altar. Quit acting like you ain't broke. Quit acting like there ain't nothing going on in your life. Oh, I'm fine, preacher. Everything's perfect in my life. You're missing out on help. You're missing out on it. And God will give you the liberty to do that. problem with doing that is you can't blame God for what you wouldn't allow him to do in your life. Come let him loose you this morning. Come lay it on the altar. Come give it away. Give it up. Preacher, you don't know how bad it hurt. I probably got a good idea, believe it or not. The story shows that even a child of God has problems. Don't believe them preachers that tell you if you got issues, if you got problems in your life, and you just ain't got enough faith. No. We all got problems. I'm reminded of a story where Jesus and the disciples crossed the Sea of Galilee and a storm came up. And the scripture says that Jesus was in the boat with the disciples. And there were other ships with them. Little ships is what the Bible says. In other words, everybody was going through the storm. But there was only one boat that had Jesus in it. Jesus calmed the storm. So all the other little ships, they benefited. The truth was, even with Jesus, even in the boat with him, even close to him, there was storms and opposition. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you. Lord, I'm thankful, Lord, for this story in the Bible, this woman that was loosed. So many of Scripture we read and we try to apply it to somebody else. We read Scripture and we say, oh, that'd be good for so-and-so. Oh, that'd be good for this person. Oh, that'd be good for that person. But the truth is, God, I found in Scripture, at least in my own studying, I try to look at it of how it relates to me. Lord, it's no secret. There's things that I battle when it comes to bitterness. There's things that I battle. I struggle with. As I looked at this woman, I seen somebody that was saved, somebody that loved you with all their heart. 18 years she'd walked into that synagogue. She never gave up on you. Not one morning did she wake up, as far as we can tell, not one morning did she wake up and curse you for what had gone on in her life. Not one time do we see her upset and taking it out on your people for what was going on in her life. God, she just loved you and stayed faithful. The whole time, God, you saw her. Lord, help us when we're bent low. Though we may put on a facade and though we may look the part and have a smile on our face, Lord. Lord, forgive us when we're bent low. When we're hurting. And we fail to realize that, God, you take it from us and you will. Lord, I pray this morning we'd let it go. It'll come back. There's things that'll come back. But God, may we get in the habit of letting it go God, and letting you do something. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name you'd loose all of us today. Lord, we'll be sure to give you all the honor and glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.